Well, good morning, and God bless you big time in the wonderful, pleasant name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. We praise and praise and praise you this morning with every fiber of our beings. We're so very thankful for the life that you've given us to live on this beautiful planet. Wow. We are so thankful for your mercy, your kindness, your grace. We're so thankful that you will let your hand touch us deep inside our hearts to bring us into that vital fellowship with you and with your Son. We're so thankful that this has been your dream before the foundation of the world to have a family, and now it's our dream too. Teach us how to share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin in the beginning in Genesis 1:1 today and talk about Elohim. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I forget that I've been given my life's dream. I forget what an absolute miracle my life as a born-again believer is. There's nothing on earth that compares to the miracle of the new birth. It happens in a nanosecond. And it changes everything. Where God takes a person of flesh and blood and endues them with power from on high, eternal life, Holy Spirit, by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the miracle of all miracles. And I know everybody on here has often heard me kid about being on Team Elohim, Team Elohim, Team Elohim. And that's who I want to talk about today. Elohim, which is the name God uses for himself when he wants to emphasize himself as the creator. You know what a creator is? A creator is one who can make, the creator is the one who can make something out of nothing. Men and women can be creative by God's grace, but the creator, he doesn't need a piece of paper, a box of crayons, a laptop. And that word Elohim is used 2,346 times in the Bible. It's almost like God wants you to remember who is large and in charge. And it's not mankind, it's him. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning..." Nothing precedes that. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. If you ever want to go into a deep meditation, take that line and just think about it for 30 minutes. In the beginning, Elohim, God, created the heavens and the earth. He made everything we see out of nothing. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And the whole emphasis of every verse in that chapter is creation, 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 creation. To be the creator, no human can do that, make something out of nothing. Angels cannot do that. Demons cannot do that. Only Elohim can do that. And the first thing Elohim created was light. Let there be light. And he created the earth and the moon and the stars and the sun and every living thing on the planet. The oceans, the fish, the fowls of the air. And then, on the sixth day, his crowning achievement. He created man and a woman. And he made them in his likeness. That didn't happen to any of the other things he created. But man and woman, he made in his likeness so that he could walk with them and talk with them in the cool of the day. So they could be a chip off the old block, a child of love. Adam and Eve chose to walk away from that, but thank goodness we haven't. But right now I want to invite you to let go of your surroundings, let go of your problems right now. Don't be thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon or tomorrow. I'm going to ask you today to really focus on what I'm sharing about Elohim, because The more you get to know who and what God is, the greater your relationship is with God. So I have this little meditation thing I do. It's called smell the flowers and blow out the candle. You breathe in and blow out the candle. You breathe in, blow out the candle. And when I do that, I like to say Yahweh. Yahweh. I do that until I feel my shoulders relax. It's really a great thing to help you in a time of stress. So in the beginning, before anything was, Elohim was. And the Hebrew word Elohim is letting you know that whatever you think God is, He's more than that. No matter how good you think He is, He's better. No matter how beautiful, majestic, and amazing you think He is, He's more beautiful, more majestic, and more amazing. What does this reveal, Elohim? This name, it reveals that no matter how much you think you know about God, there's always more to know. So much more, and so much more, and deeper and richer relationship. So never stop seeking Elohim. For His name is Elohim, and of His awesomeness, there will be no end. This was by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, a great study of Hebrew. So in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 27, so God created man in His own image or likeness or reflection. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. In verse 31, and He declared this to be very good. Very good until they messed it up. Well, now we've been given the opportunity to have everything Adam and Eve lost, ... and more, even more than Adam and Eve had in Genesis, came to us through the new birth. And the reason Elohim planned and set all this up is for one simple reason. He wanted to have a family. A supernatural, eternal family that could hang out with Him forever. And in doing that, not one thing in the whole universe was left to blind chance. Every scintilla of creation is governed by the laws of God, both natural laws and spiritual laws, from the lowest amoeba to the most beautiful star in the heavens, an intelligent purpose, don't forget that word, purpose, pervades it all. The heavens themselves, they are the most perfect timepiece in existence. And our Father's voice is echoed in the most remote parts of the earth through those very stars that He set in space. Man looks into the heavens in awe. Everyone knows it's a breathtaking experience every time you see a shooting star. The thing is, Elohim knows every one of those stars by name. The ones we can't see with the Hubble telescope. And that same Elohim knows the very hairs of your head and the thoughts and intents of your heart. If you want to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 19, Romans 1:19 really says it all. Regarding the state of man, every man knows the truth about God because God has made it obvious to all. Duh, look at creation. There had to be a creator behind a creation. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand those two words. Verse 20. Ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Though everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities. And look at this. And His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Wow, that's a wake-up call. People say, I'm looking for a sign. I'm looking for God to show me a sign. I'm looking for a miracle. Open your eyes, honey. Look at a daisy. Look at a newborn baby. Look at a sunset. Look at the stars at night. There's your sign. And here's the deal. People like to go around whining all the time, saying, oh, God made this person a winner, but I'm a loser, blah, blah, blah. Please, please, take your thumb out of your mouth. Nobody is born a winner. Nobody is born a loser. You are all born a chooser. Chooser. Everybody can see the miracle of God around them every time they walk out. Well, you don't even have to walk out your front door. Look at your hands. Look at your eyeballs in the mirror. Look at how your mouth can form a word. And we are born to be in awe of Elohim, to be in love with Elohim, to have a relationship with Elohim. But everybody has free will to choose life with Father or not. There's an old poem that goes, to each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass and a book of rules. And each must fashion, ere his life has flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. That's what Jesus said. He said, those who love him, he'll be a stepping stone. Those that reject him, he'll be a stone of stumbling to them. They won't make it into eternal life if they reject the Savior. And that's why God gave every man, woman, and child free will, free will, free will to choose how we want to spend our life. Back in the Old Testament, he said, set before you the way of life and the way of death. And just in case we're really stupid, God answered the choice. He said, and I exhort you to choose life. people don't get God's sense of humor. God has a phenomenal sense of humor. To say, I set before you today the way of life and the way of death, choose life. that is hilarious. Oh my gosh. And every one of us hearing this today, we've all chosen God. We've all chosen Jesus as our Savior, which means we are born again and we have a new life in Christ. That is so magnificently awesome. You cannot describe it in words. Even God says the love of Christ passes knowledge. You can't verbalize the love of Christ when you really get a dose of it. I mean, it takes you so out of your expectations here on this simple, beautiful planet. It's you're in the heavenlies. You soar with the eagles. And years ago, I got a wonderful book by E.W. Kenyon called The Father and His Family. And I want to paraphrase a few things from page 23 that really stuck with me my whole life and changed the way I thought about myself and other people, because it really is true that the more you love yourself, the more you'll love your neighbor. The more you care about your relationship with God, the more you're inspired to share that same relationship with basically everybody you come in contact with. So Kenyon wrote a few words called, what is the reason for man? Doesn't everybody want to know that? What is the reason for man? If the earth is the reason for the stellar heavens, what is the reason for man? Before the angels, the morning stars, sang their first anthem to the heart of the lonely Father God. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, before the first rays of light ever passed through the dark expanse, the heart of the great Creator God had a yearning, deep, mighty, eternal. It was the primordial passion for children. The father heart of the Creator longed for sons and daughters. This yearning passion took form, and God planned the universe for his man. And in the heart of the universe, he purposed a home. There is no time with God. Time belongs to day and night, the sun and moon. The omnipotent God was not hampered by days, nor nights, nor years. When God laid the foundations of this mighty universe, he planned, he purposed it all to be the home of his man. It was to be man's birthplace, man's garden of delight, man's university, where he would learn to know and love his father. And love took plenty of time. Ages and ages he worked, storing up treasures of all kinds of wealth for his man. He filled earth's bosom with deposits of iron, copper, silver, and gold, with unaccounted varieties of metals and resources that would respond to the touch of his man. He covered the face of the earth with mountains, valleys, plateaus, and prairies, bubbling streams and mighty rivers, and a garment of green intermingled with many colored flowers that thrills with joy the heart of man. The mountainsides are covered with giant forests whose trees are filled with singing birds and droning insects whose dainty wings beat against the genial wind that makes a melody fit for man. The great architect of human need and joy knew man's need while yet unborn, and in creation's wondrous plan, these needs were met. The earth is the reason for the heavens. Man is the reason for the earth. God is the reason for man. Wow. Folks, there is the explanation of the why of your life, the why of the whole universe, the why of everything. It's Elohim's desire to have a family. His heart beat with a passion for offspring, and he designed us to fit his deepest needs. He designed us to be the perfect companion to himself. Children that he could love and would love him in return. As far as I know, that's every one of us listening to this today. And I cannot begin to express how deeply, purely you're loved by God. The Bible says the Lord's portion is his people. It's like going to a buffet and choosing whatever you want for supper out of 1,000 choices. God had unlimited choices for who he wanted to be his children. What type of child would bless his heart to the max? And he made you to fit that bill perfectly. Hear what I'm saying here. You are the gift that God gave to himself. You are the gift that God gave to himself. You're the purpose of the ages, honey. When you look in the mirror, you may not feel like it. But you are the gift that God gave to himself, and he loves you right where you are. Now, he might love you too much to let you stay that way, but God loves you just the way you are. That's why Ephesians says we bow our knees to the Father, in whom all the families, both spiritual and natural, are named, to let his love permeate the hearts of every human being on this earth, to experience the fatherhood of God so he can give every one of his kids a big old bear hug every single morning and say, what are we up to today, honey? Let's get busy. God's heart yearned for children, and he made perfect children in us. He even sent forth angels to be ministering spirits. And how many times did they save our lives as we were on our path to accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior? The book of Psalms says that the visible creation is God's handiwork. But his spirit-filled children are his masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10. You know what? You're God's masterpiece, whether you feel like it or not. If I was going to pray, the days I don't feel like I'm his masterpiece are the days I pray, God, show me who I am in you. Show me how to love myself bigger. Show me how to love you bigger. Show me how to love others bigger. And man, you get a good old dose of his love and you start really believing that, yeah, you're here for a purpose. You're here for a special purpose. A life that only you can fulfill. A pair of shoes that only you can bless God in. Remember when King David, the great psalmist, the songwriter, pose the question, what is man that you're even have him on your mind? You're mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you visit him? And God showed David the answer. God said, I have made you a little lower than, it says the angels in the King James, but it's not. It's the word Elohim. The only thing a little lower than God is you. Everything else is under you. The angels, the demons, the earth, they're under us. They're under our power. We figure out how to use it. He says, I've made you a little lower than myself. Elohim is in the Hebrew, right there. Go look it up in Psalms. And I have crowned you, God says, I've crowned you with God, with glory and honor. Glory. Touch your head, touch your temples, and just say to yourself, God, crown me with glory and honor. God, crown me with glory and honor. Each and every one of us are so special to God. He's with us and in us every moment of the day. So many Christians don't understand the beauty of what they have inside. They're too busy looking at the flesh, looking at the world, looking at everything but the Christ in them. It's like having a brand new Ferrari out in your garage and you're too scared to drive it. Or not knowing you have a Ferrari in the garage if you don't know you're filled with Holy Spirit. See, but Elohim, whether you know it or not, he filled all of his children to overflowing with the essence of himself. We all have more power on the inside than Niagara Falls if we'll just take it for a test drive. And that's why we need to look in the mirror frequently and not just remember who you are, but whose you are. And that in fact, you are the purpose of the ages. I am one of these people that, you know, God has put it on my heart to understand that Jesus would have died for one of us. He died for all of us. But he would have died for one of us. We've got to take salvation so personally. We need to take our relationship with God so personally. Yes, we're part of the body of Christ. We're part of a flock. But God has his complete focus on each and every one of us individually, 24/7. We can't understand that, but you know what we can do? We can believe it. And not to watch if we're going to make a mistake, but to pour more love and wisdom and grace into your life so that you can be a blessing to him and to other people. You know, this life thing is so simple when you really see it in black and white like we're talking about here today. And you know what that makes born-again believers? The most powerful force on the planet. I remember my first teacher, my first mentor, V.P. Werewill used to say, what power we've got if we only knew it. What power we've got if we only knew it. And the thing is, this power is brought to us by love, it's energized by love, and it's to be used in love. And when we're walking in that love, love, love way, we are literally, literally Elohim's, our papa's. We're his dream come true. We are his dream of the ages come true. And that's why you and I are Elohim's greatest miracle. He's given your eyes to see, a mind to think, a will to choose. He's filled you to the brim with him to live a life of love and peace and joy, and share that to the max with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, with all humility and a sense of purpose. And you know what? The cool thing is, the more you see the majesty inside of you, it doesn't puff you up with pride. It creates a great, deep humility to be so blessed to have your blessings. And what happens is, when you see the prize within you, you begin to see the beauty in other people turned up to the 10th power. When I was thinking on this subject the other day, I was going through some old papers, and this one happened to fall out of the stack. And I bet I printed this out, wrote this 20 years ago. It's from A Course in Miracles, A Course in Miracles. And it said, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. That used to be one of my favorite chants. Victory beyond measure, victory beyond measure, victory beyond measure. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, the question is, who are you not to be all those things? You're a child of God by incorruptible seed. You are meant to shine as children do. You were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within you. I'm going to say that again. You were born to make manifest the glory, as they say in the South, of God who lives in your heart. His love is in every child of God. And as we are liberated from our own fear, we have the means to liberate others too. Brothers and sisterin, there are two ways of spreading the light: to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. We were born to mirror God back to a hurting world, to mirror the compassion of Jesus, the love of Jesus. You're a lighthouse, my friend, and through you, many others will come into the harbor of God's love. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus put it this way: for us to be blameless and innocent. You know, I think about the Hippocratic Oath all the time. If I can't help a person, at least I will do no harm. What a great oath. I may not be able to help everybody, but I'm not going to hurt them. I'm not going to take away from them. I'm not going to be envious or jealous of their success, nor am I going to condemn them for their weakness. Let your light shine before men, that you may be blameless and innocent. Excuse me, Philippians 2:15. Be blameless and innocent. Children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. No surprise to God what the world is like in many places. But it says, in spite of that darkness, among whom you shine as lights, lights in this world. That's what we're called to do. Be a lighthouse into the harbor of God's love. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let. If you let something, you already have it. I can't let my dog out if I don't have one. Let your light. God says you're full of light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and just pat you on the back every step of... No! See your good works and glorify your Father. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Satan's biggest fear, my friends, it is that you will become all that God created you to be. You will walk out believing your spiritual birthright. And that's why he tries so doggone hard to beat you down with guilt and worry and fear and all these things that take your mind off the ball. You know, I have played, I don't know how many sports growing up, but I can tell you one thing that is in common with every sport you play: keep your eye on the ball. The ball is where the action is. God is where the action is. If you want to know the next move, keep your eye on the ball. And that's Jesus giving you your instructions, the Good Shepherd, daily telling us what to do. And somebody asked me this question almost 50 years ago. Came up to me and said, "Peg, what do you give to a God that has everything?" And I'm thinking, "Well, I'm not sure." And they looked at me and slapped me on the back and said, "More kids." More kids. That's what we can give Daddy. We have the express privilege of showing other human beings the way home to Papa, to leading them to the new birth, to share the path to eternal life with other people. And what we've seen here today is Elohim. Elohim is letting you know that whatever you think God is, he's more than that. No matter how good you think he is, he's better. I remember the first time somebody looked me straight in the eye and said, "Peg, God is not loving." And I thought, where are we going with this? They said, "God is not loving. God is love." Phew! I can remember my mind going, wah, 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 wah. 7-way stretch. No matter how beautiful, majestic, and amazing we think Elohim is, he's more beautiful, more majestic, more amazing. No matter how much you think you know about God, there's always more to know. So much more, so much more, so much more. Never stop seeking to know him on a deeper and deeper level. And this whole family plan, this eternal family plan, was etched like architect's plans on Elohim's heart before he spoke the foundations of the world into physical matter. And thank God you and I had the good sense to hop on board that plan, and now we can help others. You are God's greatest miracle. He called you, and you had the good sense to choose to answer him. Praise the Lord, and pass the peanut butter. Heavenly Father, we love you, we love you, we thank you, we appreciate you. And for this cause, we bow our knees unto you, the Father of Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you would grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit, which is our inner man. Why? So that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know, not question, not doubt, but to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that we might be filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Now unto you, dear God, Elohim, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us, unto you, dear Father, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. You are God's best.